Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Ma Dharam Jyoti. Jyoti met Osho in 1968 and traveled with him in the very early days when Osho used to give talks around India. Jyoti was the very first group of 21 people initiated into sannyasi in 1970. Nowadays, Jyoti continues to lead meditation camps around the world. I'm so happy to have Jyoti on the show and I hope you enjoy it. Jyoti, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm all right. Thank you very much.
To start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
Well, when Osho was traveling in India, I was living in Bombay and he used to come to Bombay also. And one day, I just saw a banner on the road saying discourse by Acharya Rajneesh. And this just name was very new for me and I felt, oh, let me go and listen him. So that way, I straight away heard him, went to listen his discourse first time. And listening his first discourse, my heart was jumping in joy at that time. And I was already searching. So it was kind of recognition that this is the master I was looking for. And this discourse gave me really the, I will say, experience of no mind. My thinking totally stopped. Only his voice was resonating inside me, which was quite a new experience for me. And I was in a real awe space at that time, not really believing what's going on. And when discourse was over, I came out, I purchased few books. There were small booklets at that time. I purchased those and started reading those. And the next thing is I went to attend his meditation camp. That's how my journey started with Osho.
So you're one of the very few living sannyasins who met Osho so early. Most people nowadays know Osho in the latest years, but you knew Osho since 1968. So what can you tell us about Osho of that time?
At that time, I tell you, he was very fiery. He was just 36 years, looking very young, energetic man. And his discourses were like, he was uprooting everything in name of religion, in traditions, and mercilessly. He was hitting everybody, what is going on in name of religion. And he created a lot of controversy at that time in India, because all the priests and politicians, everybody went against him. He went on like that, and at the same time, he started taking meditation camps and giving public discourses in open places where like 10,000 people will gather. And his presence was so strong, like thousands of people, and he will just appear on the podium and there will be pin drop silence. And then I was living in Bombay and working there in office. Somehow I feel blessed that I got this opportunity to travel with him quite a time. Most of the time he was alone. And when I had my first meeting with him in the camp, in my first camp, when I met him personally, he asked me, will you work for me? I had no idea what his work is. And I just said, yes, I will work for you. And then he introduced me to his secretary. And that's how I came in contact with his there was a trust called Jivan Jagriti Kendra. Few people were arranging his everything. So I became part of that. That way I got this opportunity to be near him, to travel with him. And it was such a joy to be with him. It was like a very close proximity with the master. And at one point in Ahmedabad, once he asked me, will you be my secretary? I just spontaneously said, no, no, I need secretary myself. I'm a lazy type. I can't take care of my things. How I can be your secretary? And then he went on talking about, he said, your laziness is nothing. You don't know my laziness. And his sense of humor was so, I will say, full of sense of humor. Makes everybody laugh, telling jokes and everything. And then finally, in 1970, he moved to Bombay. One apartment was rented for him in Bombay, where in one of the rooms in his apartment, we few people, maybe six or eight people, used to do dynamic every morning. And in those days, Lakshmi became his secretary. He chose Lakshmi to be his secretary. And Lakshmi started wearing orange clothes, orange kurta and lungi. And one day, Osho asked me, do you like this Lakshmi's dress? And I said, yes, it looks good. And he said, get this one dress made like this for Manali camp. That was in September 1970. And he didn't talk anything about his plans about Neo-Sanyas movement or anything. So I just took that one orange dress with me in this camp. And the day I put this dress on, I went to see him in his room before this course that I put my orange dress on. And he came out of the bathroom. He looked at me and he said, well, this dress looks very good on you. And one friend was also with me. And he says, what new name we should give her for sannyas? And I said, sannyas? What is that? I had no idea what he's up to. And I was just laughing. And then he said, your new name is Dharma Jyoti. You will be teaching my dharma. Dharma means religion also. You will spread my religion. And I was feeling like all joke, what he's saying. I don't know what his religion is and what I'm doing here. And then next day, he called a meeting. There were about 10, 12 people wearing this orange clothes. So everybody was invited in that meeting. And in that meeting, he made it clear that he's going to start this Neo-Sanyas movement. And it will be totally new from old traditional sannyas. My sannyasin will stay in their homes and they will continue their work. They will be financially independent and not being burdened on society. And he gave in detail all these instructions. That's how sannyas started. And at that time, he said that like one little spark can burn the whole forest. So this orange fire will spread all around the world soon.
In that camp in Manali, 1970, you were part of this very first group of people who were initiated by Osho. And there is a beautiful picture, an iconic picture with 21 people. Osho didn't say anything before that moment that he wanted to start the Neo-Sanyas movement. So as far as you know, how come Osho decided the day to start the Sanyas movement?
I didn't know anything what he's planning. It just came out of the blue for me. And later on, what I realized is it was a device because we sannyasins were moving around in the society with orange clothes and mala and his picture and locket in the mala. And we became like a live publicity for him. Wherever we go, people will give another look and then people will ask us. So that way, he has his own ways of working. And slowly, slowly, people started joining the sannyas movement. initially we were like counting on the fingers only. Now we are 40, now we are 50. It was a kind of device for our meditation also, awareness also. Because when you are walking with orange gloves and mala and all the people around passing by looking at you, so it was a kind of, you have to be totally conscious and aware. You can't doze off in that situation. At that time, he was very, I'll say, notorious also. In those days, he gave these talks also, from sex to super consciousness. And it was such a kind of provocation, provoking people to start thinking, breaking their sleep in some way. But then we came, when we were in orange clothes and mala, we got exposed that we are related with this sex guru. He was called sex guru. And it was a kind of test for us also, how we take it. And then he always suggested that don't take anything seriously, just be playful. And whatever people will give funny looks, funny remarks on us, we will go on our way. Not taking anyone seriously. So it helped us in our process also of being aware. At the same time, advertising him also. Both things were going together.
Must have been very difficult in those days to go around in orange and with the mala and being associated to this very, very provocative and controversial man. Many people even nowadays try to avoid that, but that's another story. So another thing I want to know if you can answer is, as far as I am aware, the very first person to be initiated on that day was a woman, which is already very significant that Osho chose a woman as a first disciple.
Yes.
And this woman called Ma Anand Madhu, whom I was very lucky to meet in Rishikesh, and she still lives there today. Do you know how come Osho decided to initiate her in particular?
No, I don't know anything about that. I heard from him that she is my first disciple. And one more thing happened when sannyasi started. Osho started what he called Kirtan Mandali. Sannyasins will travel around in India in a group, small group, and singing and dancing in the streets with orange clothes and mala. And Ma Anand Madhu was the leader of that Kirtan Mandali. And other sannyasin was Swami Chaitanya Bharati. They both became leaders to take the Kirtan Mandali around in the India in different cities, which was also quite a challenge for them. When I told Osho, like, I was a little bit, in a way, scared how I can go with these orange clothes and mala to my office and what people will say. And they will say she has gone mad. And when I said people will tell me, feel I'm mad, and he said, you are mad. So if people say it, they are saying it right. Yeah. So he asked me, if you don't want to go to office, just join the Kirtan Mandali with them, which was, I'll say, not my cup of tea really, to go with these people and dancing and singing on the streets. So I decided, okay, I go back home and see what happens. But it was only my just mind. When I went, there was no opposition, nothing. My family accepted it very easily. In a way, I was quite strong also to live the way I want to live. And in office also, no problem happened. So it became really easy. And I won't say it was very difficult for me, because we were so madly in love with him. Then nothing matters. Whatever is happening, it has no meaning actually. That time, we had this opportunity to meet him every day in the evening. And he was also very kind of curious to know every day's stories we will tell him, what happened today, somebody, what they said. And then we had really some time with him every day, which was giving us a lot of juice to move on.
Yeah, that is so beautiful that you had so much intimate time with Osho. Later on, it was very difficult for people to come close. I mean, he had a very private life as the sannyas movement grew. So you had this opportunity to be close to him.
Yeah, that's true. And then in March 74, he moved to Pune. He told Lakshmi that lots and lots of people are going to come, so find a big place for me. And finally, this Pune commune place was decided to move there. Initially, one bungalow was bought there, Lasu House. And when he went to Pune, I also packed my bag and went to Pune just with him. But in another car, there was a caravan of cars going to Pune. I joined in one of the cars. I stayed 2 days in Pune. And then he called me and asked me when I'm going back to Bombay. I said, no, I don't want to go to Bombay. I stay here only. What is there in Bombay for me? You are not there. And then he persuaded me to go back. He said, do you have any problem there? I said, I don't have any problem. So he said, continue your job, stay in your home. And he wrote name of the center for me. Open a center at your home. He gave me the name, Maul Shri Dhyan Kendra. Maul Shri is the name of the tree where he got enlightened. So I opened that center there and he said, whatever I will speak here, next day you will get the tape there. That time we had these audio cassettes. So by courier, next day we will get those discourses. And at my place, I started this center and people started coming there, listening to his discourses. And every weekend, I used to go to Pune and I used to take long leaves many times to be in Pune for months. And that way, the time passed. In 79, he told me, when the time will come, you will be here. I will ask you to be here. So in March 79, I went for 4 days for celebration there. And I got the message from Lakshmi that Osho says you are not going back. So I went back to Bombay. I stayed there. And those last year till he left for America was, the best period in my life. Every day sitting with him in discourse, meditating and being in ashram and working there. It was very, valuable time I got there. And then, you know, he left for Rajneeshpuram. I also went there. In Rajneeshpuram, I was there for 4 years. For Rajneeshpuram, I will say I was like in a paradise, not knowing nothing what is going on. I was just enjoying being there and drive by time when he comes in the car and we all stand in the line. Just to see him was enough joy for us to be with him. He was in silence for a few years before he started speaking there. And there we were working and there was such an energy. People were like full of joy and energy, working for 12 hours. I remember never getting tired of anything. Then we came to know when Sheila left and Osho started speaking about her. Before that, I didn't know anything what's going on. And we heard from him only. And it was really shocking at that time. I had this idea like we are there forever now. This is our world. This is our city. But everything got shattered. And it was quite a lesson for us also that nothing is, you can't take anything for granted. Things goes on changing all the time. And then again came back to India, again in Pune too, in Pune. When he left his body, I was there also. And after he left the body, I stayed in the commune for 10 more years. From 1995, I was asked by the management there that I should start leading meditation camps in India. So before, I was very reluctant to go out of the commune. being there for so many years, like, I felt this is our world. I've forgotten the outside world totally. But when I went out for meditation camps, I realized Osho is not confined to this little place. I felt his presence everywhere, wherever I went. I always felt he's always with me. I'm not going alone. And that way, a new phase started in my life. And in 2000, I felt it's time to move out of this place. A lot of things started changing there, and I started feeling uncomfortable. And so this strong urge came inside. It's time for you to move. And I moved out of the commune. And again, a new phase started in my life. As soon as I moved out, friends from sannyasins from all over the world started inviting me that now you are free. Now you can come. So my travels started out of India. I went to Japan first, then went to Australia. Then Russian friends invited me to Russia, then Europe, Osho Risk. Then I went to Taiwan also. In that time, when I was in the commune, I wrote this little book, which was a kind of like, I will say, I became a medium to write this book. I'm not a writer, actually. But it came like a flow from inside to write. And it came in the form of the book, and this book became very famous. And friends started translating it in different languages. First, it got published in Japanese, and then in Russian, then in French, and in India, in all the languages, Indian languages. So this book made me very famous, actually. And I don't know, there was something in the book, I don't know. People get touched by it. And that's how it made me travel around the world. And the latest, it got published in Chinese also. Chinese and then Hungarian language. I was in Budapest. The sannyasin there had a big bookstore, Amrita bookstore. And I asked him how my book is selling there. He said, doesn't matter. But without your book, this bookstore was not complete. So life goes on like that. Since last 2 years, I stopped traveling out of India. I felt enough of traveling. I felt like my body is getting tired with all these travels. I don't have that much energy anymore. So I no more travel outside India, but still in India, I'm traveling a little bit. And at present, my base is Osho Dham in Delhi. When I'm not traveling, I'm in Osho Dham. And lately, as you know, so many sannyasins are leaving their body one after another. It feels like a reminder, get ready, your turn is coming. I'm already 78 now. So this inner pull is there to sit alone and go in, finish your journey. And what will happen tomorrow, we don't know. So good, get ready. Today I'm still alive, so you have one more day to live and meditate. That's how this time is like a bonus for me. Existence really takes care. Where I'm living, everything is taken care of. I have all the time for myself. Outside, like, and if we live in the outside world, we have to take care of so many things. You have to cook for yourself, you have to pay your bills, and blah, blah, so many things. Do the shopping, do the laundry. And here, I feel blessed. I have to do nothing, just meditate. Everything is taken care of. So it is Osho's special blessings on me. Yeah.
You spent all of your life with Osho when he was in the body, and even after he left the body, of course, you're still very much with Osho, spreading his vision and conducting camps all over the world. So you have so much experience. And something about sannyas that I think can be very helpful for me and many new sannyasins, there is so much confusion about sannyas nowadays. Some people don't even have a celebration. Some people take their own name on their own. Some people take mala. Some people don't. I don't know if Osho left any clear instructions on how to pass on sannyas initiation after he left the body.
When he was in the body, when he came back to Pune, which is called Pune Two-Face, Sannyas Academy was opened at that time, and he chose mediums to give sannyas. Avir Bhava and Zareen was chosen at that time. And we had first sannyas celebration in Buddha Hall there. Mediums were wearing white robe, and people who take sannyas were asked to wear maroon robe. And mala was given to them. Mala was put on their neck. And certificate was given to them for their new name. And this thing Zareen shared with me. They took a video of this sannyas ceremony. And Osho saw this. And he said, beautiful, continue this way. That was his message for sannyas. And it continued till 2000. It continued like that. And I was there till 2000. And it was so beautiful. Everybody will gather in Buddha Hall, and there were live music. Music was played, and it was like, I will say, the best time of the week when the sannyas celebration was happening every week. And suddenly, the changes started on 19th January 2000. Maybe I will say inner circle people. And at that time, I will say all the people chosen by Osho in inner circle, many had already left. So mainly 2-3 people were taking decisions about everything. So decision was taken, no more white robes for mediums, no need to put mala on their neck. Still mala was given in the hand. On 19 January 2000, people were given mala in the hand, and name was given also. It continued like that for maybe a couple of years till there, I will say, the stock of mala was over. Then mala was sold in the bookstall. People can buy there. And then it was stopped, and it was told mala is an ornament. It has nothing to do with sannyas. And the new name also, you can choose your own new name, whatever you want. So what you said is a fact, that no sannyas ceremony. People just sit there, and music is of course played, and people dance, and no mala, no certificate, nothing. So that's how it is going in resort in Pune. But in many places in India, especially where I am living in Osho Dham, or Neelam's place in Osho Nisarga and Dharamsala, we had continued the sannyas in Osho's way. People get mala, people get new name, and mediums are there. So this is going on. Yeah. Personally, I feel when Master said, watching this first video of sannyas celebration, like, continue this way. So why it got disconnected, I don't know.
Thank you for clarifying. I think I'm very lucky because I took sannyas on the 8th of January 2000. I was very lucky. I was one of the last few persons to take sannyas in the old fashion, in the original fashion, it sounds like. And it was so beautiful. There were maybe 100 people. It was Saturday. I remember every Saturday there was a celebration. So many sannyasins around, celebrating, dancing, throwing flowers on us, hugging. And for me, it was an absolutely incredible experience. It's such an important moment, and I think it's beautiful to make it special. So I'm very happy that you and other old sannyasins, you still carry on that way, because I think it's beautiful. So you have been traveling a lot and conducting meditation camps all over the world. Where do you think Osho is best received in your experience? So do you see any country now that has a potential for Osho to be received well or grow?
I will say Russia is really, what word I should use? There is Osho explosion in Russia. I was going every year there, doing 5-day or 7-day group. I went for 10 years in Russia, St. Petersburg. They will book a big resort there, and average 100 people were there. From 100, I'll say 80 were young people. Let's say age group between 20 and 30, 35. All these people are just getting connected with Osho. And I was surprised to see they don't understand English. All the time translation goes on. And everybody there wants to take sannyas. How many malas I take? They were always short. Like 30 people, 40 people, whosoever has come first time in the group. Everyone has to take sannyas. And we used to have such a beautiful sannyas celebration there. So I will say Osho is taking over Russia, actually. His nearly 100 books are published in Russian language. And now a company is doing this, what you call, dubbing his video with Russian language on it. They are in sale in market there. You can buy his videos with Russian translation, and you can buy Osho's book. One amazing story I tell you. I was invited in Tashkent, which is Muslim country, Uzbekistan. One sannyasin who used to come to Osho Dham, she said, people are reading Osho there. So let's do something there. So we did a meditation camp there where 5 people came, Muslim women with what you call burqa. They covered their whole body and face with burqa. And they took sannyas. And they were doing Osho's meditations. And they asked me, now what about our namaz? We do namaz 5 times a day. And I said, well, you continue your namaz, but do meditation also. Namaz has brought you to Osho. And if it drops, it drops by itself. And I was really touched, like seeing like Osho is everywhere, really everywhere. In Taiwan, so many Chinese joined the group when I was there. Everywhere, people are eager to take sannyas. I want to share with you one little more incident. I was in New York, and one young Muslim boy came in the program. His name was Ali. And just he read one Osho's this magazine, and then he get tuned with Osho and he started meditating also. And in the camp there were quite a people. We had a sharing session there. And at many places, it is like people are gossiping about you need a living master. Osho is no more. He can't help you. You need a living master. So somebody asked me this question about a living master. And this young Muslim boy, Ali, stood up. And he told me, should I answer him? I said, yes. And he said, you all are dead. Osho is alive. He said, look in yourself. Do you have this alive thirst inside you? You are talking about living master. And he told his many stories about how Osho helps him. He's not in the body, but for him, he says, he's always available, helping me in my meditations. So it was very touching to hear from this young Muslim boy that you all are dead, Osho's alive. That's true.
I love that. And I'll probably use it in some occasion, because sometimes I get into this kind of conversations with people. That answer very powerful, and I will remember it. Jody, I have 3 final questions. So the first one is, what's your morning routine? What do you do in the first couple of hours of the day?
First thing, I get up from my bed and refresh myself and have a cup of tea. And after that, I sit in silence. Do some breathing in the open, veranda, And then I like silent sitting in the morning. It's very beautiful time in the morning to sit in silence. So a couple of hours, I do that in the morning. Then daily routine starts. I take my breakfast. And I still love hearing Osho. I listen to his discourse every day. It is, I feel, nourishment for my soul. And when he's speaking, I'm amazed. I have heard him sitting just opposite him, and I'm now listening his recorded voice. I feel his presence, his energy, so strong with his voice, like he's just there speaking. And we are really so fortunate he has left so much treasure for us. It is a precious treasure, his discourses, his videos, his meditation techniques. Some people say these techniques are out of date, but Master said, I may be here or not, these techniques are scientific techniques. It has nothing to do with my presence. People can do it and see themselves what these techniques can do to them. Especially a lot of search is going on dynamic meditation especially. And you may have heard all these scientific people doing the search and saying how it works in our body, on all our centers, and how we become more alive, more conscious with this technique. And then next thing is Osho gave us these three meditative therapy groups, Mystic Rose, No Mind, and Born Again. They are so effective groups. And he said, everybody should do these groups. We do these groups in Osho Dham also. And mainly I facilitate the Mystic Rose group. And there are like 100 people, 90 people always joining in the Mystic Rose from India, from outside India. And I can see how their lives are getting transformed with these meditative therapies.
So the second question is, what's your favorite meditation?
At present, I love silent sitting. And my favorite is listening to Osho, listening meditation. It takes me in such a deep silence, such a deep silence. After listening him, I continue my silent sitting and it goes more deep. People can't do anything else but make a point to just listen him at least for 1 hour every day. Then they will see how slowly their lives gets transformed. Yes, he had such a wisdom with us, if we can receive it.
The last question is, you lead the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you to be with Osho today in 2020?
For me, it is same when he was in the body, or I will say even more, he's more available. In body, he was confined at one place. Now you go in silence, meditate, and he's right there. He's available totally. I have never missed him that he's not there.
Okay, well, that's so beautiful. It's very inspirational. Thank you so much, Jyoti, for sharing your story with us, because you're definitely one of the closest to Osho. You have been with him for so long, and you still carry on his work and his message, his meditation. So I'm so thankful for your time, for giving us the opportunity to record your story and share it with other people. Lots of love, and thank you so much, Jyoti.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed talking to you. And please forward me this recording also. Yeah, I will share with friends.
I will do for sure.
You can.
Lots of love. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Love of Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit loveoshow.com for new episodes, blogs,
and much more.